Please be seated. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. This past week, we have been on a pilgrimage, walking with Jesus through this Holy Week. We set out last Sunday morning with our cries of Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. But those cries quickly turned to bloodthirsty shouts of Crucify him! Crucify him! Thursday night we gathered in the quiet intimacy of Jesus' last meal with his disciples. And during that meal he scandalized some by getting down on the floor and washing the feet of his friends. This is an act that in his day was reserved for servants and for slaves. And doing so, Jesus shows the depths of his love. And he also commanded those who follow him to do likewise, as we did. At that same last meal, he gave himself, his body and his blood in the Eucharist, the holy meal that forms us into his body in the world. On Good Friday, we went to the cross. We gathered at the foot of the cross and saw there the worst that humanity can do. For on the cross hung the Lord of life, the one whose only crime was loving. He loved with a love so strong that the powers of this world were threatened by it. They feared his love. And so they hung him on a tree. And by doing so, they thought they would kill his love. One of the most poignant times this week, at least for me, was on Saturday morning when we gathered in this church in the Sabbath quiet. The altar bare, all ornaments gone. It was quiet. It was a day we struggled to wrap our minds around because Jesus, the eternal Word of God, was dead and rested in the tomb. It seemed creation held its breath. Jesus descended to the dead, to that place that was considered away, apart from God. Jesus descends there and frees those who are imprisoned. For in the silence of that holy Sabbath, God was at work bringing life to places forgotten, to places that were considered beyond God's reach. And we gather this morning, on this beautiful morning, by the light of dawn, to go to the tomb with the women. They are going to finish what is required of them, these faithful women who followed Jesus and cared for him throughout his earthly ministry. They go to anoint his body for burial. But when they arrive, things are not as they expect. The stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty. There are two men, and their clothes are dazzling. And the men ask that question, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you he would be handed over, killed, and rise on the third day. These women, seeing these surprising things at the tomb, do not, as we might expect, rejoice. Instead, they are terrified. They bow their faces to the ground. But then they go and they tell the 11 this news. But the men find their words to be an idle tale. The original Greek actually is even stronger than our English. It translates idle tale in Greek to a much fuller meaning. The literal Greek is the ranting of a person suffering from delusion. The men doubt what the women tell them, maybe even thinking the women are out of touch with reality. I can't entirely fault them. The news that the women bring is so beyond our comprehension. Peter goes to see for himself, and he finds it just as the women said. And Peter is amazed at what happened. There is no doubt about it that resurrection is difficult to wrap our minds around. Jesus was killed, his lifeless body laid in the borrowed tomb. How do we make sense of that empty tomb, of the men in dazzling clothes? While hard to comprehend the resurrection of Jesus, there's also an element of surprise in Luke's account. I don't know about you, but I would expect an Easter morning to hear a gospel account full of angels singing and lots of joy. But we don't hear exuberant joy. We don't hear rejoicing for Jesus set free from the bonds of death, raised to new life. Instead, there is incomprehension. There is amazement. It's difficult to comprehend resurrection, to know how we should respond to this amazing news. I think that's true in the days of Jesus, and I suspect it's also true in our time. This can be, for us, difficult to comprehend. With this amazing news of Christ risen, how do we respond? What do we feel? It might be that this Easter morning we don't feel quite as joyful as we might like to. Maybe we carry burdens of difficulties, of sadnesses. We carry heavy things in our lives. Certainly the world around us is full of sadness. There is far too much war and violence, suffering and death, hatred and injustice. There's political instability around the globe. Our nation is polarized and dangerously divided. As I talk to people, everyone I talk to says they feel anxious. Some I talk to are at risk and they are worried about their personal safety, their personal basic rights. So how do we experience Easter joy when this is all going on? How do we experience Easter joy when we watch the news? When we are anxious about all that is unfolding? Fortunately, I believe that Easter is about times like these. Easter is precisely about the difficult times, about those times we do not feel exuberant joy. Thankfully, Easter really isn't about emotions, about feelings. It isn't about external things. Easter even is more than this morning or this day. Easter certainly is more than a promise for a future far off, maybe after we die. The reality is Easter is a way of life. Easter is about those times we feel anxious, that we are worried, that we carry burdens. Easter is about the power of despair and hopelessness being broken. Easter is about the defeat of sin and death once for all. The resurrection of Jesus assures us that God is always and ever faithful. Just as God did not leave Jesus in the tomb, so God will not abandon us. Through the waters of baptism, we have died to the life of sin and we have been raised to the eternal life of the resurrected Jesus. As Paul reminds us in our epistle today, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. And thanks be to God, we share in that victory. Though the women were terrified and bowed their heads to the ground that first Easter morning, we do not have to. We can look at the evils of this world squarely and not fear. Death no longer has hold of us. We will never be separated from the love of God made known in Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. There is no power in this world, no wickedness, no evil that can ever break Christ's hold on us. Through the waters of baptism, Jesus claims us as his own forever, and he will never let go. Jesus being raised from the dead sets us free. The power of those human impulses that we saw at work on Good Friday, greed and fear, despair, hopelessness, those things have no hold over us. Through Christ's death and resurrection, we die to those impulses and we rise to the divine life. We are set free to love, to return love for hate, hope for despair, joy for sorrow. Resurrection is not a feeling, it's not a moment, it's not just this morning. It is a way of life. It is the call to conversion of spirit and heart. It is the invitation to be set free from the powers of this world so we rise to life eternal with the resurrected Christ. Those two dazzling men in the tomb tell the women to remember, to recall into their present Jesus and what he said to them. They say to the women, remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again. It is through that remembering, that recalling Jesus into their present, that they are empowered to leave the tomb and go tell the others that Jesus is risen from the dead. Just like those women, we are called to recall into our present reality Jesus. That Jesus died and was raised on the third day. That God's love cannot, will not ever be killed. That God's love cannot be held by the tomb. That God's love triumphs even over death. Remembering these words of Jesus, recalling his glorious resurrection into our present moment, into our lives now, changes everything. It allows us to face the evil and difficulties of this world and not be defeated. It impels us to go forth as those women did, sharing this good news, the good news of Jesus raised from the dead, to go forth and serve all in Christ's name, and bit by bit to change the face of the earth. This good news strengthens us to welcome the forgotten, to protect the threatened, to oppose injustice. And so this Easter morning, we do not search for the living among the dead, for Christ is risen. The tomb no longer holds him, and with him we are raised to divine life. Let us go forth, set free by the love of God, the love that is stronger than any power in this world. God's love so strong, it even defeats the tyranny of death itself. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Thanks be to God, and Alleluia.